The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, Bills Mafia? I'm your host, Fernando Shimuda. That's your leading the charge. And today I have the pleasure of having with me Randy Hartman to talk some Bills, talk Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, Von Miller, this bye week, and I hope you can enjoy it. Hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel. Randy, welcome, man. Thank you so much for joining us today. Sorry, my bad. Didn't open the mic. Welcome, man. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks.
So let's get it rolling. A lot of subjects left, a lot of topics to talk about during this bye week. Unfortunately, the Bills record isn't what all of us were expecting by this time of the season, right? 6-6. The tough part of the schedule ahead, but the Bills are still alive and obviously playing, they can play pretty well. We've seen it recently, and unfortunately, some bad mistakes and some difficulties in late in the games, especially have cost them, especially last week against the Eagles in a game that could easily be maybe a Super Bowl preview with the way the Bills played, especially against the Eagles. But unfortunately, it didn't go our way, right, Randy? And how are you feeling about these Bills going forward, man, entering this bye week, starting trying to recover the we saw Stephon Diggs being in and out of the game, checking himself actually in and out of the game. So the bye week arriving, Josh being able to recover his shoulder a little bit more, and even with this bad news about Von Miller, how are you feeling about this bye week and the Bills going forward with this tough stretch of this schedule going forward?
Well, I mean, the bye week could have been a little earlier, would have been nice. But, you know, as it stands where it is, they definitely need it. Going forward, it's not the ideal position you want to be in. Obviously, they want to be able to control their own destiny. And right now, it's kind of a situation like in 2019 or 2017, where, you know, you need help. You can't take care of everything on your own. You can take care of what you can take care of, but you still need help. And that's not the position they want to be in. So for me, this season's all about missed opportunities so far, and there's been a lot of them. Going forward, they have to really capitalize on everything and be, in my opinion, be a little bit more aggressive in terms of taking advantage of opportunities and creating opportunities to be able to get into playoffs.
Yeah, man, yeah. The schedule looks tough, looks difficult. We have the Chiefs next Sunday and then the Cowboys, who are playing well too, and obviously the last game against the Dolphins. The way the Bills have played this season, we can't never look ahead of the games against the Chargers and against the Patriots, obviously. I wish we could, but unfortunately with the way this season has played out, we obviously gotta pay attention to those games too. There's no room for error anymore. But I feel like they've played some great football, man. I think I wasn't in favor of firing Dorsey. I thought like the offense could get better again moving forward with Dorsey at the helm. As long as the defense started to play a little bit better, as soon as the special teams could play a little bit better. But there is, we can't deny that the offense got a big jump start with Joe Brady at the helm. He's been doing a great job. They've played really well since he took over. And even the defense, with all the injuries, and a lot of people were like, oh, this injury, this defense is in trouble because of all the injuries. And I was always like thinking they can still play good football because they have a lot of pieces still. And McDermott is a defensive head coach and is a pretty good defensive coordinator, in my opinion. So, and they have played well, at least for early stretches of some games. So the team looks competitive. It looks like they're playing really well. But on the other hand, you have a tough schedule. And I don't know, man, how confident I can feel about this team making the playoffs or not, because if you look on one hand, their opponents, not the in the schedule opponents, but their opponents for a wild card spot, they aren't the most scary teams, especially missing quarterbacks and missing important pieces. But on the other hand, our schedule is tough. So how do you balance that? How do you tell Bills fans to, okay, prepare yourselves because a rebound season is coming, or how do you are like pump on the brakes because it's still going to be difficult?
I mean, you got to be prepared for whatever comes. I mean, look, the way they played this year, and I kind of look at it as two seasons, because you have the Dorsey part of the season and now you have the Brady part of the season. And even though, you know, they lost last week with Brady, you know, leading the offense from a coordinator standpoint, they look a lot better. So, like when you talk about New England, for example, down the road, that's a different game with Brady as the OC versus with Dorsey. I think there's a much more higher likelihood that we win that game. They played Kansas City well. I think that's, I mean, that's a coin flip game. Dallas is a lot of the same way. They didn't handle Josh well, but that was 3 years ago. I mean, so many things have changed since then. There's not a whole lot you can take from those games. So, I mean, there's always opportunity. I think the Bills are one of those teams to where they're at least a 50-50 in every single game they're in. You know, it's not a matter of them really being underdogs going forward, even though the line might say -2 or -3 on some games or whatever. In reality, they have a shot in every single game they're in, even with the injuries and even with all the other BS and stuff that's going on. This is a team that can beat anybody on any given day, straight up. So, am I confident that they're going to be able to, you know, pull it together and make the playoffs? I think so. I think it'll probably end up being a wild card because, unfortunately, I don't see Miami, you know, losing enough to give us a shot at winning the division. But I think getting into a wild card is a good probability. And once we get in, anything can happen.
Yeah, that's the good thing about this team, man, because we've always talking about this, about the Bills playing their best football early on the seasons and struggling down the road with injuries and stuff. And if the Bills are going to make the playoffs this year, they're going to do in a good way, like getting better in the right moments, right? Playing maybe their best football in the right moment. And it's totally possible. And again, next game against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs haven't been, despite the good record, they haven't been that dominant this year. So, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if you are facing that almighty Chiefs team. Maybe we have a good chance there, right?
I mean, they, you know, their defense has significantly improved, you know, statistically over the past couple of years. So there's that factor. Like, yeah, they may not be explosive offensively, but also their defense has gotten significantly better. So there's a balance that you have to take into account. I still think at the end of the day, it's two teams that are very evenly matched and they play each other well. So it's probably going to be a final possession type of game. I don't anticipate it being lopsided one way or the other. I know a couple of years ago when we beat Kansas City, there was a couple, we'll say, there's a couple plays that we made that were advantageous for us. So I think a lot of people got a false sense of security when playing Kansas City. And then we had the divisional game and, you know, it kind of fell back to, so yeah, that's where we are. I think that we have a good shot, but it wouldn't surprise me if they missed the playoffs. And, you know, we're in a position where the draft is more important because we get a shot at a more premium player. So it's just, you gotta take it for what it is.
Yeah, no doubt. And thinking about Sean McDermott, man, because right after the game, I can't lie, man, and I've been pretty critical of McDermott recently, and I was done, man, because I really can't take it anymore to see Josh Allen on the sidelines, few minutes to go. Guy has done his job, like, sometimes more than us, but the team ahead, and watching his defense to fold down the stretch and lose the games late in the games, man, and I really can't take it anymore. And also, I've been pretty critical of Coach McDermott about, man, it doesn't matter if you are a great defensive coordinator, you can elevate the level of your defense, play great football for three quarters, even four quarters, but if in the clutch moments of the game, last field drives, you basically give people three free points, like, out of the start of the drive, like, no, we're going to play full prevent, move downfield as you wish, and I'm too worried about not allowing a touchdown, and then allowing people to tie games, go to overtime, not be aggressive enough to try to give your franchise quarterback during 20 seconds a chance to move downfield. I was totally mad. I'm still a little bit mad at him. But I can understand the people who are like, no, let's take it easy, especially the ownership, because it's easier as fans of the team to want to be aggressive, right? But if you're an team owner and you have all the financial side of the field of this situation, and if you take into consideration all McDermott's record, even looking at all big leagues, he's one of the winningest coaches in all big leagues in major American sports. So I can understand giving him. He might deserve a chance to prove himself, to show that he can make the necessary changes. And he made it with Dorsey. But now it's more difficult because he got to change himself. He got to rethink about himself. He can't fire the defensive coordinator anymore, right? So how are you feeling about McDermott? Because for me, man, I don't believe Pegula will fire him in the end of the year, even if the Bills implodes and lose out. And I don't know. The only way I see the Bills firing McDermott is if it comes from their leaders, you know, like Josh Allen can't stand the guy anymore and say something to Pegula himself. But otherwise, I don't see it, because McDermott has done enough to deserve this second chance after one bad season or one difficult season. But how do you feel about McDermott being able to rethink about his ways, rethink about how he acts late in games with his defense, how he calls his defense on game-winning or defending game-winning drives? How confident are you that McDermott can really change himself, improve in those areas? Because I've been waiting for it since the 13 seconds, and I haven't seen it, man. I don't know if I can be really, really confident he can change more. How do you feel about that, Randy?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, there's an old saying, and I don't know if this translates, but wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first. And I think when you're wishing for McDermott to ultimately change the way that he operates, you know, that's exactly what you're going to get. I think that he's a good defensive coordinator. I think that he's been a good head coach for us to this point. But I think you've seen enough from him, especially with the way that the defense happens to fall apart late in games that matter. And the results speak for themselves. Yes, we've been very good since Josh got here and even, you know, helping break the drought in 2017. And that's great. But I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think that he's in Marvin Lewis territory, where when is being good not good enough? I don't think he's the guy that can ultimately take it to the next level. So I think that, you know, should they move on from him? Yes. Will they? Probably not. I would say it's like 95 to 5% no versus yes. But in my opinion, I would want him to go in a different direction. You are wasting your franchise quarterback year in and year out with the same thing over and over. And eventually, one of two things is going to happen. The window's going to close, or that quarterback's going to want to leave. And I certainly hope it's not the latter, but it wouldn't surprise me if they keep McDermott around and two, three, four years down the road, Josh says, you know what, this isn't working. And if you're not going to move in a different direction that way, then maybe I need to go somewhere else.
Yeah, man. And with Josh, it's dangerous when you have a guy like him, in the sense of he always says the right things to the media, and you are like, okay, he's cool. McDermott haven't lost him yet. He is supporting McDermott. He's supporting everything. But sometimes it's dangerous, man. Sometimes those players, those kind of players, they don't start giving some tips like, okay, he's starting to get annoyed by it. No, sometimes it simply happens, you know, and out of nothing you have Josh Allen once out of Buffalo, you know, something like that. Because he won't probably do it through the media. He's always like saying the right things to the media, saying the right things about everybody, and he'll never throw his coach, his teammates, nobody under the bus. So that's something I fear about the way Josh acts. I love the way he acts. I think he does the right things. But we can't really be sure about how comfortable he is with this situation. Just like I said, we are seeing the guy lead a lot of game-winning drives down the stretch, and to see the defense simply not being able to hold down their own, right? Since the 13 seconds against the Cardinals, against a lot of teams. So it's really worrisome, in my opinion, and something I fear. And I'm a few about McDermott, man, even after thinking about a lot about, and I think he, no matter how much we want it or not, he'll have an opportunity again to prove himself, to win tough games in this last part of the schedule, and to lead the Bills to the playoffs. And just like you said, if they get in, that's a dangerous team. We really don't have a juggernaut contender on either side, in my opinion. So this Bills team can win it all if they get into the playoffs. But it's up to McDermott to be able to coach those guys, to keep them disciplined enough and playing well enough to fix his problems. And ultimately, that's what makes me question if they really will make the playoffs. Will they be disciplined enough in this last part of the year to be able to play mistake-free football both sides and be able to beat those difficult opponents and get in? I don't know, man. We haven't seen it for this team so far this year, and they don't have a lot of margin for error right now. Big test for McDermott. Just like you said, even if he doesn't make it, I don't see he getting fired, but I think they should. And tell me one thing, how crazy am I of thinking about being very, very aggressive in this bye week? Obviously, it's not going to happen, but firing McDermott, giving an opportunity to Joe Brady be the interim head coach for some games, and to see what's going on under maybe Joe Brady, because that's a guy who I'm starting to get worried about missing him or losing him late in the season or after the season. And again, even if we fire McDermott, it's not like we can do a lot of stuff roster-wise. If a new head coach arrives, even if you don't necessarily need to fire Bean too, but if you change the general manager, it's tough because the roster, we have a lot of money already allocated to this roster. It's tough to retool a lot of this roster, you know, to rebuild this roster. So how crazy is this idea? And do you think it would be positive if the Bills did that? Not maybe in the bye week, but in the next few games, if the Bills lose some games against the Chiefs, against the Cowboys, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I don't anticipate change from the head coaching position, but you know, after the season, and again, we got to remember that it's not up to Brandon Bean. Both of them have direct line to Terry Pegula, and he's also move to save his, you know, job or anything like that. Not that his job necessarily should be in question. I think out of the two of them, Bean should be the safer of them. So really it's going to come down to Terry Pegula and what he thinks, you know, where he thinks the franchise is at this point under McDermott, under Brandon Bean. Should he move on from one or both of them? I think the better move is to keep Brandon Bean and move on to a different head coach. But again, I don't know if Pegula is there yet, no matter how they finish, whether they, you know, anything short of a Super Bowl, you know, obviously a deep playoff run is going to change his perspective. But where it sits right now, even accounting for the injuries, I mean, 6-6, there was a lot of missed opportunity in this season. And then there's allocation of assets on defense and, you know, the whole Von Miller thing and how that hasn't worked out at all the way that anybody has hoped. There's a lot of questions to be answered going forward this season and the off season and next year too. So a lot of decisions will be made. I don't think Joe Brady has earned even an interim head coaching job, much less an actual head coaching job. I think your better bet is to leave him in the position that he's in, give him a full offseason with Josh as the offensive coordinator and kind of revamp your approach there. Defensive coordinator, I know that there's Bobby Babich waiting in the wings. There's Al Holcomb waiting in the wings. So maybe taking that off McDermott's plate would be better going forward next year. But, you know, I still think that there are certain things that McDermott does in a game-in, game-out basis that he just, as much as he tries to self-scout, he just can't change certain tendencies. And those are the things that we see late in games to where, I mean, essentially, if we score, and I'll give you this example, when we score with roughly 2 minutes left to take a lead, basically from the 13 seconds game on, and even a little bit before that, but from that game on, every single game, in my mind, we're losing. Because that defense consistently, and I've used this term before, and I've used another term, but it's a little bit more blue than this one, but this defense folds like a lawn chair every time you get in crunch time in important games and games that matter against good teams. And that's what really changes the opinion for me. Like, it's great to beat up on bad teams. You know, any good team should be able to beat up on the mediocre and bad teams. And we've done a great job of that in the last 4 years. What we haven't done a great job of is, and I think that's a direct line to the head coach and his just general.
Yeah, man, I really can't understand how
he. I don't know if you got all that. There's no
really
issue.
Yeah, it was a little bit laggy, but I really can't understand how he changes his approach down the line in clutch situations. Like, I couldn't stand giving. He basically handed 3 points to the Eagles, like, no, move downfield. And it wouldn't be even easier if not by Kelce's penalties, right, to be able to kick that field goal and tie the game. So he was totally afraid of giving up a touchdown that he gave the 3 points instead of trying to win the game with his defense in that situation. And even not giving Josh an opportunity in the 20 seconds, I saw a lot of people acting like, okay, but Josh has thrown interceptions and it's dangerous. Man, if I'm the head coach, I have a franchise quarterback, $40 million per year, and I'm going to put the ball in his hand. And if he throws the interception, okay, then we're going to call him out, because that's the time you want Josh to be decisive and win the game for you.
What's the old, lose the game for you. What's the old saying? If you're going to go down swinging, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean, that's what everybody wants. If you're in a close game and you got a shot to win it, you know, you take the shot. If you miss, you know what? You miss. It happens. But I think there would be a lot more people that would be understanding of if they had, you know, put the ball in the hands of the guy that you paid damn near $250 million to, you know, instead of this absolutely innate conservativeness that says, well, we're just gonna try and you know, play defense and win it that way. And it's been proven old school bullshit that doesn't work, that's been proven over and over and over. It's just one of those things where the tendency will not change. You know, certain things you can change. You can try and adjust your mindset and be open to new ideas and everything. But in crunch time, when it matters, in those high intensity moments where he's got to make a split decision, it's always going a certain direction. It hasn't changed. And the results haven't changed because of it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. And I was totally mad at it. And, man, we've seen the media a lot. I don't understand how former players, former players, actually I understand, because they are still tied to their pre-draft opinions on Josh or something like that. Because there is no way you can put this kind of loss on Josh Allen, or you can put this situation the Bills are in on Josh Allen. Yes, he throws interceptions. He commits some turnovers. Yeah, but man, the guy leads the league in touchdowns by a wide margin, and he has more touchdowns than a lot of other teams, not other players, right? I just saw today on Twitter, and we have the Miami Dolphins with 44 touchdowns, the Baltimore Ravens with 37 touchdowns, then Josh Allen with 33, and then the Kansas City Chiefs with 28 touchdowns. All the major statistics and especially advanced metrics, they love Josh Allen. If the Bills were like a 3 or 4 loss team right now, Josh Allen would be the favorite by a wide margin to win the MVP award this season. And unfortunately, they are 6-6, and people are trying to put all the Bills' struggles on Josh Allen. Man, I can't stand that. And if it's going to happen, at least as a head coach, give this guy a chance to defend himself and to throw the ball with 20 seconds left. And then if he throws an interception, even himself will deal better with the blame, because he'll be like, okay, I had the shot to make it happen and I couldn't, right? But the way it is right now, man, he's receiving way too much blame for a situation that he actually is doing a great job of avoiding it. But unfortunately, it's not just up to him, and people want to use that interception in the fourth quarter. A guy who's throwing like crazy number of interceptions and scoring a crazy number of interceptions, obviously he will throw some interceptions, right? A crazy number of touchdowns, sorry. Obviously he will throw some interceptions, just as Darius Slay said, okay, this guy's not throwing the ball 20 times a game. He's throwing the ball 51 times against a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, he will make a mistake at some point. You can't expect Josh Allen to be perfect all game long, every game, so you can win by a minimal margin in overtime. So the guy needs some help, and he needs help from his teammates. He needs help especially from his head coach. And I've said it since the 13 seconds. He put the Bills in a condition to win that game against the Chiefs twice, not once, but twice. He led two game winning drives in that game in the last 2 minutes. Just to see the defense folding and giving up the scores, and even again in the overtime and losing that game. And this has happened more than once. It has happened a lot of times, and that's why it's so difficult to keep understanding, keep on McDermott's side, you know. But yet again, he will have another opportunity. So time will tell, man. But I don't know. I feel like we can't allow it to happen way more, or we have the risk of dealing with Josh Allen asking out at some point, just like you pointed out before. And I really believe it can happen if he doesn't see a change of mindset from his head coach first, and then from the ownership not doing anything to change these things. Diggs has voiced this already last year after the Bengals. Oh, it's always the same. It's always the same. And we don't see Diggs saying anything anymore. The last interview, he was like, will it change if I tell you I don't like it? It won't change. I will be a professional and do my job. So this message really tells me a lot about how this locker room is right now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bills Mafia, please let us know your opinion about all this situation. What do you think about the Bills going forward? You can comment in the chat, comment in the YouTube comment section. Hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel, and let us know your opinion. Are you confident the Bills will make the playoffs? Are you still confident McDermott being able to change his ways, to correct his mistakes, to start acting differently late in the games and help Josh Allen a little bit more? Let us know in the chat, in the comment section. It will be a pleasure to interact with you. Randy, so Josh Allen playing an MVP-like season. How do you feel about what can change? Man, in one of these comments today on Twitter about his numbers, the crazy high numbers of touchdowns compared even to other teams, there was one guy saying, look, he's in the MVP because despite all his touchdowns, his team is 6-6. And actually, I thought that about the total opposite. I questioned the Bills roster, the Bills coaching, and everything Bills related because of this comment. Because if you have your best player being what seems like the best player in the league this season, and it's still not enough, man, it says a lot about your coaching staff. It says a lot about your roster overall. How do you feel about this situation? Do you think Josh Allen MVP season really isn't an MVP season because of his mistakes? Or do you feel it's just showing that the Bills aren't this powerhouse that we believed so before the year started?
It shows that we're a flawed team is what it shows. You know, so how many times in game do we sit there and say it basically, and especially with the Dorsey, you know, era, like season and a half, did it look like basically the plan was, all right, Josh, go make a play. You know, that, I mean, and that's the reason why Dorsey's gone is that, yeah, a lot of the numbers and the efficiency numbers were up. And that's why people pointed to things like EPA and all this other stuff and said, oh, look, Dorsey's not bad. Look at how well we're doing in all these metric categories. And to which point I say, well, yeah, also look at the fucking scoreboard and see that we're not putting up the points to win games. You know, statistics and numbers are great, and you can use them to say a lot of things. But at the end of the day, the game is about who can score the most points. And we weren't doing it. The reason why we're 6-6 is because we weren't able to score in important times when it mattered. And that's a direct line back to the offensive coordinator and the offense as a whole, A, not having the right game plan in place, not being able to take advantage of matchups and doing things to put you in advantageous positions to score points and win games. And also it points to the quarterback struggling a little bit with the overall picture and what he was being asked to do. And I think part of that goes back to your head coach and constantly telling him, you know, be smart, don't take these adverse risks running and all this other stuff. And it's like, just let Josh be Josh, you know? And I think we've seen more of that with Brady, which gives, I think most Bills fans, it gives us a glimmer of hope that we're going to see the return of, you know, the guy that everybody thought we had, you know, this whole time. And so, yeah, he's been putting up MVP numbers, but it's one of those things to where people don't think he's having that type of year based on perception. You know, I think Josh is a lightning rod for so many people that he can have this type of season. And there are people that are going to be on national TV saying, you know, the Bills can't win with him, which is asinine and absurd, but it's the way it is. MVP isn't just about who's got the best stats. It's who's got the best stats as a quarterback on the best team. So it's not just the best player in the league. I think objectively, if you look at all the numbers, turnovers included, you know, Josh should be in the top one or two in the MVP conversation. But based on the team record and the way that they've lost games and the national narratives about Josh and this team, I don't think he's in the top 10 right now.
Awesome. Okay. We have a comment here about Josh Allen is the next John Elway, about Trey White and Vaughn got hurt. I don't know what people want Bean to do. It's bad luck. Those are two transcendent talent that will be back next year. Man, not so sure, right? Especially with Vaughn's situation right now, but especially Trey White, okay, he's still a good player, great player, but we just added Rasul Douglas, who has played great, to his place. So I really feel like the defense still has enough to play well, even without Trey. Vaughn, on the other side, is trying to get back from a major injury, and sometimes it takes time, right? And he's also aging, so you never know. Probably we've seen the best of Von Miller already in the past, and he won't be able to play at a great dominant level anymore. We don't know. It's not just his age, but also getting back from a difficult injury. Still, this defense had a lot of investment through the years. And again, Rasul Douglas just arrived. You added Joseph to help you at defensive tackle. Daquan Jones is actually the best player of this trio, in my opinion, right now, between Trey, Vaughn, and Daquan Jones. And he's even more missed than Trey and Vaughn right now. But still, you have Joseph, you have Douglas. We have some pieces to work with. And I think McDermott has been able to do a good job with this defense, actually. The problem is not the piece. It's not about the pieces. It's not about these schemes not being good. It's about his play calling and his mindset to close out games. I think it's pretty clear with McDermott and his defense. They are able to play well against good offenses, but can they close out games? And we've seen year after year that they haven't been so. It's difficult because you change the players, you change the defenses, you fire Leslie Frazier, but the result is still the same. I don't know about you, Randy, but I don't take this kind of excuse anymore for this defense, man.
Yeah, I mean, and going back to the point from the comment about, you know, those guys getting hurt. Yeah, injuries are part of the game, so you have to overcome and move on from those. But also, those two specific players point to another issue of A, asset allocation and risk management, you know, and talking about Vaughn's legal issue, I'm talking about his health, you know, he was performing for the part of the season before he got hurt But the risk assessment that you take in a guy that's had those major injuries previously and giving them that type of deal and that type of guaranteed money, it is a major risk. And right now what we're seeing is that the return on investment for that major risk has not been advantageous for the Bills. It's been great for Von Miller's pocket, but it hasn't been great for us. We've got a half season out of him, and now we've got this pending legal issue to deal with and all the repercussions from that. Trey White, you know, you signed him to a good deal and then he got hurt, so that's a different story. And they've done their best to try and back up that position. Now, they swung and missed on Elam, apparently. They hit on Benford, and they made a great trade for Roswell Douglas at the trade deadline. So that loss has been minimized by the moves that Bean has made to make up for originally losing Trey. So I don't look at that as much. Yeah, it does matter a little bit, but the overarching issue, as you alluded to, is the defense led by Sean McDermott. And I think, you know, going forward, as far as Bean is concerned and surrounding, I know we kind of jumped around a little bit, but adding talent for Josh, I think you'll kind of see this offseason who has a little bit more sway, because I know a lot of people want to add a receiver, and I do too. I want to add two of them, actually. But I am under the impression that it will not be early. Just trying to, you know, no inside information or anything. I don't want to give that impression, but just based on my feelings and the way that I view, you know, this team's philosophy and drafting process, I just don't see it as something that's going to make its way into the first round unless there's just an undeniable option available. And we're talking big time option, not pick your favorite wide receiver.
Sorry for interrupting you, but even going farther, man, I expect Gabe Davis to be back in a cheap contract, you know, because he's going to be a free agent in a year that the draft class is loaded with wide receivers prospects. So in the last offseason, we didn't see any wide receivers getting the bag, right? We saw DJ Chark, Paris Campbell, those guys signing very cheap deals. I think if Gabe Davis checked the market and nobody overpays for him, what I think is a lock right now with the season he has had so far, only if he changes in the second part of the season. But the way it's gone so far, man, I see Brandon Bean and McDermott bringing him back for a reasonable deal, you know, and moving on with him. That's what I expect from them, even though I really don't want it to happen. But that's what I see happening with the Bills in the offseason regarding wide receivers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some problems with Randy. I think the connection is freezing a bit. So going forward, man, it's bye week, and I think it's a good time to assess or reassess some of the expectations we had before the season started and how it's been so far with the difficult year or the 6-6 record so far that we weren't expecting. But that's a good time to talk about the guys who had played up to the level that we expected and the guys who haven't played up to this level. I already told you and Randy here that I'm pretty content with the season Josh Allen has had so far. I think a lot of things around him isn't enough. I'm not saying Josh doesn't deserve any criticism. I think he had his fair share of mistakes, his bad games, especially against the Jets in week one. And again, against the Broncos, it wasn't ideal. But I think if things are better around him, we're talking about an MVP season. And but around him, that's my big time question, because I never felt like the Bills had a great roster overall, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think the defense was great. I think the defense was top five material, and despite always thinking that they wouldn't deal well against big time teams in clutch moments, and it has happened. But I feel like they still have enough not to be this top five defense, but to be a top 10, top 15 opportunistic defense that can make plays and get turnovers in important moments, get some stops in important moments, and leave the field and give the offense opportunities to win the games. And unfortunately, especially when the game is on the line and the offense has done its job, they haven't done their job. So guys that have really been less than ideal this year, or the expectations were high and aren't as good right now anymore, in my opinion, first of all, that I really need to add is Kaiir Elam. Kaiir Elam, man, we really wanted and really needed him to play at a great level this year. First round pick, we traded up for him. And just like Randy said previously, thankfully, Benford has been an awesome find late in the draft and has played in a great level, and it has minimized the lack of impact that we've seen from Kaiir Elam. But still, we're talking about a first-round cornerback, a guy who should be able to, at this point, play really well and cover number one wide receivers and do a great job and offer the Bills something they don't have, a cornerback that can play outside the structure, outside their schemes and their zone schemes, right? And press some of the best wide receivers in the league and held his own. Unfortunately, Kaiir hasn't become this guy, and I think it's something that this team misses, because we still have to play all the time those zone coverages and trust communication between the defensive backs, trust smarts, trust physicality, tackling, but you don't have those guys that can man up some of the best receivers, run with them and make plays. So Kaiir Elam is one of the biggest letdowns, in my opinion, in this season. Randy, in your opinion, who's the guy who's the biggest letdown in this defensive side of the ball this year that you expected the most, and unfortunately, it's been nowhere near close this kind of level?
I it's hard not to point at Elam. But also, you know, and I know that there are some injury issues that have to do with it, but I feel like Russo's been a little bit underwhelming based on expectations coming into this year. And also the safeties. I mean, we've seen both Poyer and Hyde give up some pretty big plays. Them being back and healthy this year, you know, I know a lot of people were expecting them to really, you know, lock down that back end of the defense, and it hasn't been what it was in previous years. Now, a lot of that could be signs of aging. I know I felt like Poyer should have been, should have walked after this past year, and, you know, but they brought him back, and that's fine, but this should be it for him. I think the signs are there. So I look for that to be addressed. But, yeah, I think safeties have been a letdown. And then, you know, Russo and obviously Elam have been a letdown also. The linebackers have been an overwhelming surprise for this defense. I was not high on this linebacker group, sans Milano, going into the season, and they've really overperformed. So good My moves guy, there in retrospect. Yeah, your guy Bernard, you got it. But the rest of them, and Epinesa has been good too, you know, and Leonard Floyd, they both, you know, I think it's easy to miss, but I mean, this defense is on pace, either on pace or already over the 40 sack threshold. So, you know, a lot of people chime back to the old, you know, the cold front days, you know, with the four guys and 40 sacks. But I mean, we're in that territory right now. But it sure doesn't feel like it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, I'm really happy with Bernard, and he's been better than I expected. I expected him to do a good job, to be able to fill that middle linebacker and start to grow, right? But to be able to transition so fast, and the way he already is totally in command, you see, like, he calling a play and against the Eagles, for example, Hurts changing the play in the line of scrimmage, and Bernard quickly changed the play on the defense side of the ball too, and was pointing out to his teammates and being sure that everybody was in position. It was a thing of beauty, a thing that we, even with Edmonds for so many years in the command of this defense, we didn't really see it happening. So it was really cool to see how Bernard has been able to so quickly become this kind of linebacker. And I really wish we could have seen more with him and Milano together, because that was up there with the best linebacker duels in the NFL this year. Unfortunately, we couldn't see more from them together, and hopefully we can see more of them together next year. And with Rousseau, I think it's fair right now to start questioning about his health issues, right, Randy? Because again, he had some stretches where he looked really good, improved, and the guy we needed him to be. But then, again, injuries and not missing time, but he's playing injured and it slows him down, and he isn't really that impact player you need him to be. So it started to worry me about him. Will we ever see Rousseau fully healthy, playing healthy all season long? I don't know. I think it's a fair question to be asked right now.
Yeah, I think it's at the end of the year, you're probably going to find out that he played hobbled basically all year. So it, you know, you're probably not going to see him. And as his comment addressed, he's got a broken bone in his foot. So he's been on the mend for a while, and that's one of those things to where it's going to take time. So hopefully, you know, he's rested up and available for this final run of the season to where he's going to be fully healthy. But with those type of injuries, it's not something that I expect to see a 100% Rousseau until next year. But if he can be impactful at 70%, 80%, that's great. We've been getting great production out of Floyd and Epineza and Oliver. You know, it's just a matter of the other guys being able to kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah, and Oliver is another one, right? I'm really, I think the guy, just like I single out Elon in the negative side, obviously Bernard would be the guy I would like to single out on the positive side. But Ed Oliver, he talked about outplaying his contract, and he has done that. It's been really good to see. And even without Daquan Jones, he's been able to play really well. It's really promising with the way the Bills locked him up to the next few seasons to be able to see the Oliver playing at this level. And again, we have a question here or a comment about Epineza, right? Let me find it here. So, do you think the Bills go after another great pass rusher this offseason? I like Epineza, but I think he's more a complementary pass rusher, not the lead pass rusher. And yeah, Epineza isn't that every down guy, right? He's played better, but I still don't feel confident having him as a starter. I think Leonard Floyd has played great football, and the Bills probably should do whatever they want. Obviously, not overpaying, but they should try hard to keep him going forward because he's played really, really well. And we are locked to Vaughn also, right, going forward. Obviously, we have now this legal problems, but we are locked to him. We can't get rid of him anytime soon. So it will be hard to invest a lot in this pass rush department. Maybe we see Bean spending draft capital again in defensive end position, just like we saw with Rousseau, Boogie Basham, and Epineza, and the list goes on, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the worst case scenario, isn't it? You know, passing on adding weapons for Josh in favor of more defensive help, you know, more defensive help, more pass rush, more defensive tackles, more corners, you know.
Yeah.
For a defensive guru, how many first and second round picks does this guy need to get his defense in a position to where they're over the hump? I mean, it's one of my huge frustrations, and I know that they spent, you know, a first on Dalton Kincaid this past year, and they traded a first for Diggs. I get all that.
Finally, you know, right? Finally, they did it.
It's so frustrating.
About time, right?
Yeah, finally. It's just it's really frustrating that they keep on allocating all these high-end resources. And honestly, as bad as the situation is, the Von Miller situation is, it's almost best-case scenario if we can move on from him without any financial repercussions to where we don't absorb any sort of cap hit or anything. I mean, if he's going 35 years old going on, coming off another major injury where he's not impactful for the season, it's almost better if we can get away from him without getting hit on the cap or any other financial obligation, and being able to re-sign Epenesa to a mid-level deal and re-sign Leonard Floyd to a decent 2 or 3 year deal, and then go look in free agency and maybe in the mid rounds of the draft, second, third, fourth round in the draft, picking up a defensive end that you really like. With an aging roster that's negative $29 million going into next year before they pull any levers, it's better to be able to do that versus keep Vaughn and then, you know, lose AJ or expend more resources on AJ and Floyd when you really don't have that much money to begin with, and you still need to add weapons for Josh Allen and look down the road at both tackle spots, both wide receiver spots, slot receiver. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the moment and say, well, we need this year. Look down the road. You have Dawkins and Spencer Brown coming to the end of their contracts. Gabe Davis is at the end of his contract. You don't have a solid answer, you know, with Deontay Hardy. So you hope that Khalil Shakir is the answer there. He's going to be going into year three next year. He's on a 4-year deal. So you don't have a long-term answer there. There's a lot of questions. Mitch Morse is coming to the end of his deal. And we're talking about spending more and more and more on defense, when we've got holes galore on the horizon on the offense and a franchise quarterback who's basically going to be doing it all himself.
Yeah. Again, figure it out, Josh. Carry the team, Josh.
Yeah.
Right? So,
What do you need weapons for when we can just go put the whole thing on your back?
Yeah. Make Robert Foster become a top-notch weapon, Josh. So this kind of stuff is what really makes me crazy. When we started to have the injuries and people were like, oh, we lost Milano, we lost Daquan Jones, we lost Tre'Davious White, it sucks. Yeah, it sucks, man. And then, oh, the defense is playing at the absolutely best level they can with those injuries, and the offense is fully healthy and they are playing bad. And I'm like, okay, but let's look at the investment on both sides of the balls. Let's look at the investment of this fully healthy offense and the investment on this injured defense. And, man, we still have a lot of first-round picks on that side of the ball, a lot of our own picks and free agent additions on that side of the ball. And on offense, we have Josh, we have Diggs, and then finally they added Kincaid and Torrance. But, man, they are rookies, right? And Knox was injured, right? We lost a running back that we traded for, and that was an impactful player in special teams to a jet ski crash. So, man, it's crazy, right? So how can we still defend this kind of approach? That's what I think about, and I think it's about time to give Josh Allen more weapons so he can really win games for us, not on his own, but with more help alongside him. And to close it out, let's talk about the offensive side of the ball, because we single out Elon, Bamford, Oliver, right? Some guys, Von Miller, on the defensive side of the ball. But on the offensive side of the ball, the guys I want to single out positively are those two guys in our offensive line. One is a rookie, other is a veteran. And I really like how Torrance could step in and start right away. And, man, it's been a long time since I've been able to see an interior offensive line from the Bills to anchor, just like he does against some of the strongest men in the league, and be able to hold his own on one-on-one passing situations. So obviously he's a rookie. Obviously he loses some battles, some snaps, but I'm really impressed by Torrance so far. And the other guy, Deion Dawkins. I've never been a big, big Deion Dawkins fan. I was like, okay, that guy is solid, but not awesome. Left tackle, franchise left tackle material, in my opinion. But this year, I finally am able to, I'm able to see Deion Dawkins playing in a different level. It looks like he's never been in a better shape. He's moving well. He's being used as a puller, right, in the run game, and he's being nasty there. So those two guys, I really want to shout out, send a shout out to them, because those are the guys I'd like to give my props to in the season on the offensive side of the ball. How about you, Randy?
Well, I mean, I you can't say enough about what Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen are doing this year. And I think, you know, James Cook is having a somewhat quiet breakout year. I mean, he's on pace for well over 1,000 he's on pace for over 1,000 rushing yards, and I haven't looked up all of his stats lately, but he's on pace for a really good year. And I wanted to go back to what we were talking about a minute ago before you switched over the offense, talking about you know, the allocation of assets on defense versus offense. And if you go back and you look at our schedule, you know, so we lost the Jags by 5, we lost the Jets by 6, right? Other than those two games, you're talking about the Patriots was a 4-point game. You know, the Bengals was a 6-point game. You're talking about one more touchdown a game being the major difference in winning these games that we lost. And to me, the Broncos was 2 points, Eagles was 3 points. So you're really talking about going from a field goal to a touchdown for a lot of these games as being the difference. Adding more resources offensively changes that. And I think, like, Gabe Davis, for example, is a guy that he operates better as like a third or fourth option and not a number two, which is why I don't want them to bring him back. I think, to use a phrase from Brandon Bean, he has earned the right to test free agency. And I hope that he passes that test with another team. Plain and simple. I mean, it's until they added Kincaid, it was Josh and Diggs. And every now and again, you get a good game from Singletary. And right now, you know, Cook is getting more involved, which is good because his skill set is the type of thing that you can use in the passing game. I wish their run concepts were a little bit more advantageous skills, but, you know, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, man. I hope Dable and Show love Gabe Davis as much as Bean and McDermott do. They maybe can pay Gabe Davis, take him to the Giants, and I would be happy for everybody in that situation, you know? And how about the guys that let us down on the offensive side of the ball? Because, okay, I love what Josh and Diggs obviously are doing. I love what Dawkins and Torrence have done. You singled out Cook. Kincaid also has been impressive for a rookie tight end. But how about the guys who let us down? And we already talked about Gabe, and I think it's pretty obvious that he's in a number two. He's in a better situation when he's a number three, number four. You can move him a little bit around, use his blocking skills, all of that without counting on him to be a difference maker as your number two. But, man, Hardy, this guy, man, it was a total letdown, in my opinion, because you were expecting an upgrade over McKenzie, a guy who could be electric, a guy who could help you with screen passes, those easy passes for Josh to get some yak. And even in the return game, and the special teams is something that we don't talk enough, but they have been awful, right? And return game, yeah, and kicking game, punting game, coverage. So everywhere you look in the special team department, it hasn't been good, and it counts also. It has an impact on those Bills losses. So Hardy has been a big
time. You just pinpointed McDermott's next scapegoat.
Yeah, and Hardy, we invested a lot in Hardy, right? They went hard after him. Obviously, it's not a big-time contract, but it's a two-year deal with some nice money on it that you could have allocated in other places of this roster, of this offense. I think they totally made a mistake in this scouting, professional scouting department. Hardy isn't that guy anymore, unfortunately, maybe because of his injury. But that's the guy who, after Gabe, man, that's the guy I'm being really down this year with. We've seen so far through these, those weeks leading to the bye.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
Anybody else that you would like to single out negatively on the offense? Closing comments so that we can close this out. This is the charge. I always thanking Bills Mafia for joining us, participating in the chat. Feel free to comment in the comment section. Hit that like button. This episode is also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much, Mafia. Randy, thank you so much for joining. Closing comments. About all those subjects, those topics we talked about, or anybody else that you would like to single out positively, negatively, feel free, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it. No, I mean, I think it'll be a real interesting close of the season down the stretch, and especially the off season going into, the draft and everything this year. There's going to be a lot of eyes on One Bills Drive and what's going on there. Both in a positive and a negative sense. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about for the next, 8 months, basically, up until kickoff next year, whether it's good or bad. So I'll be watching. I'm here for it. I'm along for the ride, just like everybody else is. And, hopefully things turn out for the best and go Bills.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to those draft podcast, looking forward to those, so you can join us and we can talk some drafts, some prospects, and see who or where the Bills can look at to improve this roster going forward. Really appreciate you taking your time. You are always ready to join, to jump on. I really appreciate you, and thank you Bills Mafia for joining us. I'll be back on Sunday with the Leading the Charge in Portuguese for Latin America, Brazil, Portuguese-speaking countries. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed. See you around. Go Bills.
Go Bills, man. Thank you.